Well, welcome again to our continuing Bible class in the study of Luke, and we're in chapter 8, and today we're concerned with verses 19 through 21, and by way of context, we've just gone through the parables of the sower and the seed and the parable of the lamp under a vessel, and we looked at those things, how the key words were in Luke 8:15, they that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And that was our first lesson, hearing the word and holding fast to keeping it. And then in verse 16, no man when he hath lighted a candle covereth with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter may see. May see the light. And so we have hearing and seeing, our second lesson. And then today we're in verse 19 through 21. And then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. So he's surrounded by this multitude there that have come to see what he's doing. And some of them are there to hear. Just as he said, some of the seed's going to fall on the wayside. Some of it's going to fall among thorns. Some of it's going to fall on the good heart that the Lord has prepared. And he says, so his mother and his brethren are trying to get to him through this mass, this crowd that's around him. And they couldn't come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he said and answered them and said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And so that's our message today, is hearing and doing. So we've had hearing and keeping, hearing and seeing, and now it's hearing and doing, and we'll be looking at that today. And so it just astounded me. It's just three verses here. And he just kept expanding and expanding, and when we're looking at this, we always find that our Lord is always greater and wiser and kinder than we can imagine, and he's never less than what we expect. He's always more, and with one seemingly simple sentence, he evokes a fact of the spiritual nature of things for our consideration. This, my brethren, is my true mother and my true brethren are they which hear the word and do it. And he's always viewing things from his great I am state, his eternal nature and the nature of the church and the distinction between physical and spiritual. Remember in John chapter 17, he says, I'm not of this world. And people always kind of look at him, and he says, you always thought I was such a one as yourself. But he says, you know, I'm not of this world. I came to this world to redeem the church. I'm not of this world. Hebrews chapter 4 brings to our attention another fact about our Lord that's always kind of seems to escape the attention of the people around him. He's the Word of God, that's Christ, is powerful, and he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it says, all things are open and naked to him with whom we have to do. And people, as we had in one of our previous lessons, well, the Pharisee thought within himself, like, I'll think this, but he won't know what I'm thinking. And we find that example brought up again and again and again in the Gospels. He knew what was in their heart. He knew everything. And so we see these people that come to him and say, your mother and your brethren are out there. And he looks out there and sees things from an entirely different perspective. He looks out there and he sees his sheep. He sees his believers. He sees those that the Father had given him from before the foundation of the world. And he said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And what a concept for us to... He equates his family, his spiritual family, his true family, from every kindred, nation, tongue, and in the world, they're identified by certain characteristics, and here it's hearing and doing. And the qualifier there is it's hearing and doing. Hearing the word of God, that seed that, as we mentioned from chapter 15, that seed that lands on the good ground, the ground that the good heart that's prepared from God. And we know that because of sin and fall, the natural heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. It's not a good heart. You can't receive that. Who can know it? And it tells us that we're okay. Our natural heart says, "Eh, there's no God. Eh, there's no problem with sin." The natural man says can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he even know them because they're spiritually discerned or understood. And isn't that what he told Nicodemus? He says, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And you certainly can't enter it. And so doing the word of God is a believing on him whom God has sent. And then it's coupled with loving one another, because the Lord says, by this men shall know that you're my disciples. He said, they said, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, well, in Deuteronomy it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. Well, how do we do that? And he said, and secondly, it's like unto the first, if that's the case, then you'll love your neighbor or your brethren as yourself. It's just a natural fruit of the Spirit that will happen. Down the street here, as Dom and I were driving up 10th Street to go to the church, there's a billboard that they just butchered this scripture. It says, we love because God first loved us. They just tore that verse to shreds. And they took away most of the meaning of it. We love God because He first loved us. And instead they turned it into, oh, we're just all love and we love everybody. And it just takes away the fact of the enmity in our heart that we have toward God before He saves us and reveals His Son in us. So doing the Word of God, loving and believing on Him whom God has sent, and loving one another. And a subset of that doing, as we looked in the previous chapters and the parables, was being true to the gospel, hearing and holding fast to it. And then, remember that word was, in the Greek, is the word echo. It means we reflect back that. An echo is just a reflection of sound from an object. And that's what we do. Paul said, I give you that which, I deliver to you that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He just echoed back what had been given him, reflecting it. And so one of the first things we might look at here in this Scripture is he says he's making a contrast between his physical family and his spiritual family. And so we might look at how did his physical family match up to these qualifiers of these criteria of hearing and doing. And first we look to Mary, his mother. How did she react? And how was her example? And we look to her example that she had faith, that total reliance on Christ for salvation. And our example comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 35. And if you'll turn in your Bibles there to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And boy, I was just reading this again this morning, and I just had to get my pen out and highlight a few things. You know, we are always talking about from Ezekiel, the I wills of God, that series of scripture. There's I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, and then ye shall. Well, we find that same principle here in Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt. The angel of the Lord speaks to Mary and says, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. These are absolute terms with the sovereign God Almighty. These things shall happen. Then said Mary unto the angel, well, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? She didn't quite have a full grasp of what was going to happen. And we find that in our lives. When God moves us here and there, we don't really have maybe a true understanding of it until later on what all was involved. And we were talking this morning about Norm and I were from the same area in Southern Oregon, and then we met up in Alaska, and then we got together again here. All these steps, we didn't fully at the time think of anything about it, but God directed our steps according to His purpose. Then we find the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon. She asked for understanding, just like the disciples said, I don't get this parable. What does it mean? How shall these things be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, shall, again, that absolute term, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What powerful words. And you know what? Here's the doing. She had the hearing. And now we come to the example of her doing found in verse 38. Total trust, total reliance on Christ. Even if the total understanding was not maybe there. And perhaps a little lacking. And we find that for her to understand this, it was physically dangerous for her, because the law said that if an unmarried woman found with child, they should just be taken out and stoned. So it was a dangerous situation for her. But she said in verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We might lump that in with the Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, when she heard the word, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. like that centurion, just say the word, and I have faith in you that it will happen, that my servant will be healed. Well, how about the brothers then? So we have this example of his mother, her hearing and doing, and then we have this contrast with her brethren, his brethren, his half-brothers, and he had sisters as well, too. It tells us in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, when he was in a synagogue teaching, and they said unto them, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And of course, they that were in that synagogue, they were offended at him because of what he taught and did in the synagogue that day. But they said, we recognize his mother and his sisters and his brother. And they didn't name the sisters, but they named the brothers. The half-brothers, actually, they had the same mother, but different father. And so there were many in that synagogue that were hearing without ears in that synagogue. They heard what he said, but they didn't like it much. And as physically close as we look at his brethren, as physically close as they were with the Lord, and seeing all that they had seen and hearing all that they had heard, they were still in their natural state, the state of the world. And it says, neither did they believe. It tells us that in John chapter 7, verse 1 through 7. John 7, 1. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. They saw him do a lot of this stuff, and he said, Go show them people too. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, he himself seeketh be known openly. If thou do these things, go show thyself. It's the same thing they said on the cross. If you thou be the Son of God, come on down. Show us. Show us. Well, it says, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And they were just looking through the physical seeing eyes. Because in verse 5 of John chapter 7, it says, Neither did his brethren believe in him, even though they saw all these miracles. And I don't know how many times we brought out in the lessons that seeing the miracles doesn't equate to belief. Many people saw. Many people were fed. Many people were healed. Many people were helped. But in John 6:66, they said, "Oh, when he brought out the truth of the gospel," they said, "Well, that's a hard saying," and they walked no more with him. And his brethren, they didn't believe in him. And then he says something pertinent in John 7:6-7. He says, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. He said, The world, right now, the world cannot hate you. But me it hateth, because I testify it, that the works thereof are evil. He says, Right now, you're in the world. You are part of the world. You are just one of those folks. And so the world doesn't hate you. But, you know, we were just talking this morning that as soon as you experience grace, pretty soon you find out, well, pretty much the world hates you for that. They don't want to hear about it. Now, the point of the fact is that one can be around the Word, even around the very Christ, and yet still not have hearing ears and seeing eyes. And no ability to do. There's no hearing, there's no seeing, and there's no doing. The appointed time for them had not yet come. And when God would reveal His Son in them. And we know that in some of them that happened. But not, we don't know about all of them. But certainly some of them, we know that God revealed His Son in them. And that is recorded for us in the Scriptures. So now let's look at the spiritual family, the mothers and brethren of the Lord in the true spiritual world as the Lord Himself viewed them. They consist of all who hear the Word of God and do it. He just said that there in verse 21. My mother and my brethren are they that hear the Word of God and do it. So we know that hearing ears and seeing eyes come from God. We've read those Scriptures there. And we know that He has chosen to save them that believe through the foolishness of preaching the Gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. And we read that from Romans and Corinthians, Romans 1:1-3. We know that we must have been given a believing heart. We learned that from Ezekiel and from Luke chapter 8, verse 15. The good ground is those with a good and honest heart receive that word and hold on to it. And we know that all this is recorded for us in Romans, the 10th chapter. If you turn over to Romans 10, we'll just read a few verses from Romans chapter 10 regarding the gospel. In verse 8 it says, But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that the word of totally trusting in Christ for salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, many religions take that and say, okay, here's all you got to do is confess the Lord with your mouth. But then he goes on to explain it in the very next sentence, which the context of which is usually left out in those that try to hurry along the effectual nature of the gospel. He says, because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's that imputed righteousness that Christ gives us based on His suffering and dying in our place. And He says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As our brother Mike here has brought in one of his lessons, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what the confession of the mouth is, saying, I was a sinner and the Lord saved me by grace. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? Well, that's pretty plain. How do you call on somebody you don't believe in? How shall they believe in Him in whom they've not even heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone to declare, someone to echo back the gospel of the Son of God coming and dwelling among us and dying for our sins while we were yet sinners. How shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But some of them don't have hearing ears. Some of them don't have seeing eyes. And some of them are that ground that's by the wayside, that ground that's in the thorns. They've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's what Isaiah wrote. He says, man, I've been declaring the gospel and it doesn't seem like anybody's believing it. And the Lord says, well, I reserve to myself 7,000 people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. He says, so then, faith, total reliance on Christ for salvation, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Through that mechanism, by the Word of God. So the spiritual family of the Lord and of God have this wonderful work of grace wrought in them. And at the appointed time, Christ has revealed to them that He is their righteousness. This is the name by which ye shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And this is His name, the Lord our righteousness. We'll have that revealed to us, that they are righteous in Him because of His finished work. And it's imputed to them. And so now the doing is this. Believing and trusting and holding fast the Word of God, like it said there in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Bringing forth fruit with patience. That's what the close of that verse 18 or 15 said. They bring forth fruit with patience. They reflect the Word of God. They echo the gospel out to others. And then they just say, Lord, be it according to Your Word. It's the Spirit that makes that Word effectual. And we've done what we can do. We've been faithful in proclaiming the truth. showing forth, reflecting the light, the marvelous light of Christ who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Reflecting that light to others. and with patience again. Waiting on the Lord. How hard that is. Boy, we wish we could make that effectual. We wish we could give somebody the bonk upside the head and say, wake up, believe this. But, you know, we just don't have control over that. All we can do is tell them the same thing Paul said. I just delivered to you that which I also received. So his physical brothers, he could have revealed himself to them any time. But you know, there was an appointed time for them to have that happen in them. And it didn't happen until that appointed time. In the purpose of God, it was in a time yet to come. And you leave it up to the Holy Spirit to do his work. They saw all this stuff. They heard him preach. They heard him read in the synagogues. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. To the poor the gospel is preached. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see. All these things that we've been talking about in these parables and these lessons. But we can lead the horse to water, but we can't make him think. I think that's what that saying is. As we drill down now in the scriptures to this matter of hearing and doing and being in Christ's spiritual family, a key part of this is we learn that our relationship, says that he calls us brethren. My brethren, my mother and my brethren are these that hear and do. That's family, folks. Our relationship began in the heart of God in eternity. And is my true mother and my true brethren, we learned that relationship is required for hearing. And we don't necessarily know this until he reveals himself in us, but it's true nonetheless. We just think we're motivated to do the things that we do. We're motivated to maybe... I remember back in 1987, my daughter shamed me into coming to church, and I was motivated to come, and I heard some gospel, and the Lord revealed himself to me, but I didn't understand anything. I was kind of like, Mary, how shall this be? I didn't really have a full grasp of it, but he let me know pretty darn quick, what was going on. But, what saith the scriptures, as Paul wrote to the Romans? It's, well, in John, this family relationship is recorded by our Lord himself in two really valuable truths. And we find in John chapter 8, verse 47, he said, he that is of God heareth God's word. Now, if we analyze that and think about that, that's a very powerful scripture. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore heareth them not, because you're not of God. Well, what does of God mean? We'll look at that here in just a second. And then in John chapter 10, verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now the converse of this, these two scriptures, the truths that are contained in these two scriptures are found right in the same context, in the same verses that we were just reading. In John chapter 8, verse 43, a couple of verses before, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you have hearing ears and seeing eyes and understanding? Because you cannot hear my word. He says, you're not able because, in verse 47, he says, because you are not of God. He says, you're of your father, the devil. And he goes on to elaborate on that a little bit in verse 44. And in John, if we go back to John chapter 10, where we just read in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The previous verse in John chapter 10, verse 26, he says, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. So how clear is that, that there has to be this relationship before there can be hearing, and before there can be seeing, before there can be doing, this family relationship that's rooted in eternity. Now, as it's written in John chapter 8, verse 47, it says, he that is of God heareth God's word. Well, the term of means born of God. That's what it says in John chapter 1. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not physically, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. They are born of God, it says there at the close of John 1:13. Born of God. So that's pretty concise in how it explains that relationship. Now the verses we just read clearly state that we who believe are born of God, and as such we are and have been in a family relationship with God for eternity. That's what electing love states. Even if we don't have it revealed to us until our appointed time, Hebrews chapter 2 speaks to this very succinctly. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 13, he says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, every sheep." As it turns out, if we read this whole couple of verses here, it's not a universalistic idea of him. He died for everyone, and therefore it's up to you. But he says, "For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." Of course, again, it highlights that familial relationship. "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." It was all in the covenant of grace from before the foundation of the world. He says, "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Well, you know, all those verses are just quotes from the Old Testament, declaring his family relationship with his sheep, with the church, with the elect in the Old Testament. Those come from Isaiah 12:2, Psalm 22:22, and lastly, that last one from Isaiah 8:18. "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." A family relationship. All these references he just quotes from the Old Testament. His brethren, his elect, the sheep, the church in the wilderness, given to him to redeem in the covenant of grace from before the foundation of the world. You know, it says in John, or in Isaiah 53, he's going to see his seed and be satisfied. And he said, just because you're of Abraham doesn't mean that you're the seed. He said, the seed of the promise is that's true. And so, in John, we look at this, that all these people were given to him from the Father in this family relationship. In John chapter 17, verse 6, says, "I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me them, and they have kept thy word." Now the scriptures tell us that we are in this spiritual family through eternal electing love and by the spirit of adoption, which just means a choosing. And we could look to Ephesians here. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, "For proof to those with ears to hear and eyes to see the wonderful works of grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." So that's pretty specific, that before the foundation of the world, we were in this relationship of adoption, predestinated unto the adoption of children. So the family of God is rooted in electing love, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, and when it pleases God, He reveals His Son in us as He did Paul and everyone since Adam. We are sons and daughters. We are brethren by spiritual adoption. And that, you know what that means? It means that word adoption. It means we've been placed in the position of sons and daughters by the Almighty hand of God according to His purpose. We've been placed there. Let's look at some other scriptures which shed light on this marvelous work of grace. In John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, says, He came into His own, that they received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit lets us know that. And accordingly, we give grace, praise, and glory to God for making us accepted in the Beloved. Found that in Ephesians 1:6. And accordingly, we give praise and glory to God for giving us hearing ears and seeing eyes and a heart to believe. We've read all those scriptures throughout this lesson. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, that comes from God. So, all because He loved us eternally, redeemed us through His blood, and we've thus been forgiven of sins according to the riches of His grace. And He's not ashamed to call us brethren, having died in our place. What better evidence can we have than that? That He loves us and He died. He says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friends. So not only does He call us brethren, family, but He calls us friends. What a thing to know. So we find that all of our hearing, our seeing, our believing, all have their source in the Lord God Almighty. And as always, we find that what He requires, He supplies. He supplies it all. The hearing eye and the hearing ear and the seeing eye are gracious gifts of God given to His people. We read that in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. We believe according to the working of His mighty power, Ephesians 1:19. The doing is the same. The doing part is the same. What He requires, He supplies. Doing the Word of God, that Greek understanding of that use of that word doing is to make do, to abide, to agree, to exhibit contentment. Those are all things that happen when we've been had Christ revealed to us and we've been born again. We're going to abide in that. We're going to agree with it. We're going to be content in that. Ephesians 2:10, after that wonderful passage about by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then, if you skip down to verse 24 of Ephesians 2, he says that the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're His workmanship. We're the product of Him. The doing can be summarized in just a few things, which, of course, God supplies all. We believe and hold fast, echoing the truth to others, producing fruit with patience, loving God with all our heart. That's Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul? You know what? On our own, we just cannot do that. We cannot measure up. But you know, if you go down to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, says, the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. Cut away that fleshly part in the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul that thou mayest live. Isn't that marvelous how he says, here's what I require, and then he says, here's what I'm going to do to accomplish that. Loving our brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, this is, as for touching brotherly love, you don't need me to tell you. He says, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He supplies that. He teaches us to do that. So, in closing, let's just look at one more verse in Ephesians, which sum up kind of all what we've been shown here. And we read it just a second ago in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look at the structure and meaning of the words in this verse. It gives such a clear understanding of grace. We are His workmanship. The we, that means the we are the believers. He has, the believers that He has saved by grace through faith, that total reliance on Christ for salvation and not of works. His workmanship, we're the product. That's an interesting word if you look that up. His workmanship, His product, the result of the fabric of His grace, I think is kind of in that meaning. Created in Christ Jesus. He is the fabricator. He is the manufacturer or the producer. You know, you just can't read all these verses in the New Testament and say, well, that's new. They all come from the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, verse 21 says, this people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. He formed them, give them the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the belief, and then the result is they say, praise God, He did that because I could never do that for myself, dead in trespasses and sins, having predestinated us to be conformed. That conform kind of gives you the image of being squeezed into a new shape, conformed. You get something loose and kind of a mass of stuff and you shove it into a square box, it becomes conformed to the shape of that box. Well, we've been conformed to the image of His Son. Good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. That's expressed in Deuteronomy 5:33, where the Lord says, God said, you shall walk, you shall. Remember that absolute term that we always use with the sovereignty of God? You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. Spiritually, you will do that. Physically, we may not be able to do the things that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do, and the things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. That's what Paul wrote. But in the eyes of the Lord, he says, spiritually, you shall walk in all my ways, which the Lord your God hath commanded you. And James summed it up this way. I said one more scripture from Ephesians, but see there, I failed that test too. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straight forth he forgets what manner of man he was, what he was saved from. From one simple sentence, no. We need to stand ready to always give answer to the hope for the hope that lieth within us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But if we're just hearers and not doers, we don't reflect that. If we don't go forth with the truth of the gospel, we pretty soon we forget with the pit that we were dug out of. So from one simple sentence, be you hearers, launch out into the deep of the grace of our Lord. Be they that are my family, or they that hear the Word of God and do it. So we'll stop there, and till the next time, be free.